You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Sexy in Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised.
Gee, I'm sorry.
That's okay, anytime.
Oh.
What's this?
Oh, why, what's this?
You got something over here. Oh,
just... Oh, hi, honey.
Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR, where we talk about all things sexy in Van City. And in the last few shows, we've been focusing a lot on women's sexuality, which we should, and sexual health. But to balance that out, tonight's show is going to be focusing on men's sexual health. And some of the key topics we're going to be discussing are men's postpartum depression, erectile dysfunction, premature ejaculation, the HPV vaccine for men, which I thought was really cool that we finally have something, and how all these issues can affect self-esteem and romantic relationships. And if you do want to call in to contribute to the conversation, you can call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And if you want to call because you want to get two tickets to ZZ Top, I'd prefer it if you sent us a Facebook message to our Sexy in Van City radio group on Facebook, or you can Twitter us at Sexy in Van City, because it's super fun, because we will be announcing the winners sometime during the show, so I hope you are spreading the word and having fun and enjoying it. And of course, you can always go to sexyfitness.wordpress.com, which is our new site. And you can leave a comment on tonight's show, because you can, and it would be really, really super fun. So joining me tonight is Maureen McGrath, and she's an RN, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
It's great to be here.
Well, I'm excited because I got to meet you a couple weeks ago at the Every Woman in the World conference, which was an absolutely, if I wasn't sick, would have been an absolutely fantastic time, because I've had Carrie Carlson on the show and I love her to death.
I know, she's fantastic. That was so great.
And you got to present there, and I wish to goodness I got to take your workshop, and I was so sick, there was no way, I didn't want to infect anybody.
Oh. That's a good thing, in sexual health especially.
Definitely in sexual health, I think it's very important.
No pun intended.
I thought pun intended, but I like that better. But in regards to that, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit just about your workshop that you did at Every Woman?
Sure. It basically spoke to a group of women, about 25 women, and just educated them on sexual health and conditions that occur across the reproductive life cycle, such as postpartum depression in women or during pregnancy, issues that may impact their relationship with their partners or their sense of sexuality about themselves. And then, of course, as the life stressors impart upon them, the financial stressors and raising children and having a job and doing the lion's share of the housework, and that impact on their sexuality. And then as women enter perimenopause and menopause, and really just defining what that looks like for women, we're not really educated as to what that is. People will say, I'm menopausal. They don't even really know what they're talking about. But just letting people know that it can start as early as the late 30s, and hot flashes can continue into the 70s. So,
wow.
But it's usually the worst the first 5 years. It's usually the most acute. So just kind of letting them know what happens, and pain with intercourse can occur at that time due to some lowered estrogen levels in the vagina. So, and that can impact their relationship as well. So we've had a great conversation really all about this with 25 women, and also gave them some suggestions on how to shake things up.
Which I think shaking things up is very important, because that empowers the men in our life as well as the women. So
it does, yes.
And there is a little bit of us, I still think, and I don't know what your thoughts are on this, where we're still a little bit in the Victoria era, just the Victorian era.
We certainly are. And one's culture and religious influences all certainly have an effect on women's sexuality. And, in the 1800s, when it was learned that orgasm had no benefit to conception, you know, women were tagged as either, you know, hypersexed or promiscuous if they enjoyed sex, and frigid if they didn't. So, you know, really, sex is to be enjoyed by both partners, men and women alike. Mm-hmm. It is for pleasure, and that's when it is the best. And so we definitely bring all those beliefs and all the education or lack of education to that as well. That's why I feel it's so important to get the word out.
And getting people chatting, which hopefully the Sex and the City 2 movie that just
comes out at midnight tonight, which I'm pretty excited.
Yeah,
time
too.
For martinis and everything. And I think it's great because apparently the character Samantha is going through menopause and is experiencing hot flashes and decreased sexuality as well. Which is interesting because we think of her as literally our lovely Kim Cattrall who plays the sex pot.
We do, exactly. We just never dreamed that she could possibly go through menopause.
No.
But all women do go through this normal transition of life. And it's just kind of a defining period of, you know, a little bit before and after. And life can be so good after menopause as well. The children are generally raised. Women are more freer. The kids aren't going to be knocking on the bedroom door. People are more comfortable, have more experience with sex. So they can often enjoy it better and find it to be a great time sexually after menopause.
Which is awesome.
It is something to look forward to around menopause.
And with the women's sexual health, the conference that's coming up on the Health Forum on June the 3rd, is that going to have a little bit more details about that during
your
presentation?
Yes, I can give you a few more details.
I would love
about
to have
that,
details. Jesus, please, and thank you.
Well, we have the First Lady of Daytime Radio, Christy Clark,
which
is our host.
Great.
Yes, because she's so fantastic, and she's done so much for women's health and for health in general. We're just delighted to have her as our host, and we have an esteemed group of professionals. We have a physician, Dr. Stephen Kay, who's an OBGYN. He's going to be talking about perimenopause and menopause and vaginal bleeding, which is a big concern for women. He gets lots of questions about that in his office. And we have a pharmacist who's going to be speaking all about natural remedies and hormonal remedies and bioidentical remedies for anything that ails you, really, and a little bit of anti-aging thrown in there also.
I might have to come to that.
Yeah. We have her, and of course, I'm going to be talking about the sexuality piece and conditions that occur that impact sexuality as women advance their age. And then we also have a female physician who is really top in the country and known around the world, who's going to, because it's very important that women understand what is going on with their man. So, Dr. Stacey Elliott is going to be educating women about men's sexual health issues. And often, some of their sexual health issues can be a sign or a symptom of an underlying medical condition. So, we're delighted to have her as well. We look forward to that. And it's June 3rd, as we say, at the K-Meek Center in West Vancouver from 6 to 9 p.m. And it's going to be a great evening.
I think it sounds fantastic.
Yeah. So we're going to also have a panel as well. And so the audience is going to have an opportunity to put their questions forth, and we'll have a dialogue with the panelists. And so lots of questions that women don't want to ask necessarily, we'll have them written on an index card. So
they can feel
anonymity
comfortable
and,
safe. So it's creating a nice safe space where people can talk about their sexuality and concerns.
Right. And we just want to normalize it because it is so many women and men have concerns, of course, with sexuality. One expects that in life, especially in the fast-paced world in which we live.
Definitely.
It has an impact also.
No, it really does. I almost like to think of our world as a fast food culture in so many different ways, where that we've got our Facebook, we've got our Twitter, which, again, I can't imagine living without because I'm used to it. And my partner always bugs me about the fact that I do check it regularly.
Excellent.
Which,
a Twitter expert. I'm delighted because I'm just a little older than you. Twitter and tweeting. But it reminds me, on that night as well, because I did want to tweet about this. Blow, the hair...
the hair salon where you can get styled as opposed to having to go for a full cut. You
That's
can actually get flat ironed and get nice and sleek. Get wonderful curls or get your hair done up.
Audrey Hepburn look.
Very classic, and I love it. Very breakfast.
Very cool. It certainly is. So we're they've offered to do our hair. So that's just so great on that evening. So
that's awesome.
You know, when you look good, you feel good.
And I think that's so important.
I think hair is just so important in terms of looking good. You know, it starts with your hair, really.
It really makes all the difference in the world.
Does,
but it's also just submitting to somebody where they're taking care of you and
that's
just
right.
being really gentle the way they comb through your hair.
That's true.
As long as they're not back combing.
Exactly. That can be a killer.
And I know I tell my hairdresser things that I wouldn't tell a whole bunch of other people.
It's like therapy, basically.
It is, yes.
And they seem interested, so they're just so great. You know,
it's fantastic.
But even if I wake up with a bad hair day that day, it's not going to matter because I know I'm going to blow that afternoon.
And that's such a double meaning when we're talking about men's sexual health as well as women's.
It certainly is. So I just thought it was blow was perfectly apropos.
Very.
For the evening.
It's so true. Is that for people who are attending as well?
No,
or
no, it's just for the
oh, okay.
just for those
so
of us on stage.
Okay. I just want to clarify that because I wasn't sure if it was like a beauty night for the general public.
No, it's not. You will not be coming and having your hair done unless you bring your own blow dryer.
Darn.
No. We all will.
No, it's true. And I'm so glad that somebody is talking about men's sexual health as well, because it's something that I don't think there's a lot of resources for men out there. There's, I think, one of the key aspects that men have to work with is internet porn, and I wish it wasn't that way because I know porn mm-hmm. addiction is one of the number one addictions worldwide,
mm-hmm.
and it's so important that we are able to take care of them, because I know for myself, even growing up in Vancouver, where I was raised, where it was up to the girl, where it was like, Carolyn, you got to take care of yourself, and guys are these raving, crazy guys who just want to have sex all the time. And I was raised on that, and I think a lot of girls are, where mm-hmm. when guys face things eventually, like things like erectile dysfunction, where mm-hmm. I think it affects both partners, because they are supposed to be like the caveman, where, you know, it's like, you, woman, come back to my cave, you know, throw her over the shoulder and drag her and have sex with her quite a bit. But with that, when that's not possible necessarily because of different things, I think it affects their self-esteem as well.
It certainly does affect their self-esteem. And, you know, there is something to be said for men wanting to have sex all the time, because men are hardwired entirely differently than women.
Mm.
And men do think of sex quite often. It is first and foremost on their mind, far more so than women, where for women it's far more emotionally based and intimacy based and
oxytocin.
Absolutely.
The magic word.
Yes. So, but for men, it is so important. It is right up there in terms of importance. So when things go wrong, and for example, there are problems with them having an erection,
mm-hmm.
attaining an erection, maintaining the erection, it's not as hard as it used to be, it's not hard enough to penetrate, then those are real issues, and they can actually be a sign or symptom of another medical condition.
What type of medical conditions?
It can be the first sign of cardiovascular disease or heart disease. I get in trouble using the big words when it comes to, but heart disease, it can
wow.
certainly be the first sign of that. Diabetes, you see erectile dysfunction in diabetics. It's more prevalent because it's about vasoconstriction, so there's not enough blood flow to the penis, and that's the problem, basically. So it can definitely have a very negative impact on the relationship, because the man may gradually over time not want to have sex or just feel less of a man, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman can feel as though, or if it's a woman or the partner, can feel as though, you know, what's the matter with me? Why doesn't he want to have
mm-hmm.
relations with me any longer? Have I done something wrong? Or, you know, and you know, women, we go right to, you know.
We do. It's got to be me. And it's all about us.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
We blame ourselves.
That's true. And the guilt thing, and that's another whole show. But,
you know,
the waistline, and, you know, we think, well, maybe I don't look as good, and I saw him looking at somebody else, and all of those things that can make us feel insecure, when really it's a medical condition.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So we just go right to that fear place, where the men go to the shame place, where we tend to separate that way, and if we don't talk about it and keep the communication skills open, it can...
And communication is so important, and there's so much great information out there for educational pamphlets and information in the, you know, and having a good rapport with your healthcare provider is really important, with your physician around that, or a good therapist or a sex therapist or a registered nurse, you know, skilled in the field or who understands. So it's really important to understand this condition and to be able to openly discuss it with your partner so your partner can support you in getting the help you need.
Which is so key.
It's so key. It really is. Because it can lead to depression, really. For men who have erectile dysfunction, you see a higher percentage of depression with that. So they feel alone. They feel that there's no help. That they feel... And men are problem solvers. And, you know, they want to solve the problem. And so they're very frustrated, if, especially if they don't have the knowledge or understanding. And if they have any shame around it as well. So it makes it far more complex to solve for them.
So what's a good way for a partner to bring it up in terms of where it's not affecting, where they it makes them feel less of a man because they are problem solvers, and making them feel good about it, and yet at the same time keeping the communication open?
Yes, I think it's important to just, you know, always just be kind and caring and, you know, is there something, you know, just asking simple questions. Is there something that's weighing heavily on your mind? Is, you know, I've noticed that perhaps, have you noticed any changes in our, in the bedroom, or is there anything different, or maybe just saying, you know, I've seeing some information about it and just perhaps leaving the information, you know, in the bathroom, because men like to spend some time there.
They do.
Yes, they do. So that might be really good to leave the information around, or, you know, just to gently discuss it. And of course, you know your man. And so just understanding his way of communication is also so important, but just trying to normalize it. And that's really what I try and do, is in terms of educating people about their sexual health, and just that it is physiological. There, it's physical, it's physiological, it's psychological. There's many components to it. So it's not something that can be solved, you know,
overnight.
That said, there are many treatments available today, which is great. So from a, you know, of course, everybody knows the medications that are available, and they are actually very safe medications, the PDE5 inhibitors.
Okay.
Which are, you know, the Cialis, the Viagra, and the Levitra. So those medications are safe and effective medications. And there's lots of different choices around those medications today, because they have some daily low-dose ones. The Cialis is 5 milligram, so you can take that daily. So there's not this sort of planned to have sex time, which can also take some of the spontaneity out of it and kind of denormalize it, you know. Or some people prefer taking the Viagra, which lasts for about 4 hours, you know. And so but you certainly need to have intercourse within that time period. Some people feel pressured with that. Of course, you never want to take any of these medications if you're taking nitrites for chest pain, because it can drop your blood pressure significantly.
Which is Viagra? Do you need a prescription for it?
Of course, you do need a prescription for that. But there's also
I get so many emails all the time.
You need a prescription. So. I will also say, do not purchase it over the internet, because definitely not Viagra.
Listeners, did you hear that? Do not buy Viagra over the internet.
It is not Viagra. I will tell you, it is shaped the same. It looks the same. It's not the same. It will not work, you'll find. Cost is an issue for the medication, but it's certainly one that does improve health, and you know, it's been associated to with improving depression. So once somebody's erectile dysfunction is helped, or, you know, is treated, then the depression quite often goes away, which is makes perfect sense because
then the man feels like a man.
Exactly.
And the woman feels great. So it helps benefit their relationship. Self-esteem's high for both people.
That's right. And there are so many health benefits to having sex for men and for women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it lowers blood pressure, it releases endorphins, so it helps to manage pain.
It's a great workout.
It reduces stress. I believe you burn approximately, depending, of course, on the activities.
I was just
going to
say, on the position and what you're doing.
Yes, but approximately 300 calories can be burned during that time, so which is, you know, just slightly more than a cheeseburger from McDonald's. But anyway, so when you think of that, but that's not bad for...
No, it's great.
Yeah, have that in the morning and then fruit and yogurt for breakfast and maybe go for a hike later and you're going to be in tip-top shape.
Well, everybody out there, if you're getting ready for bikini season, and even if you're not, it would be really good to go on the sex diet. So I think it would improve your relationship, it will make you feel good about yourself, and it clears up your skin too if you've got bad skin, because you do sweat, and just as long as you shower afterwards and take care of that, it's very healthy.
Absolutely. Dr. Carolyn.
Thank you. I was going to ask, fact or fiction, and I know you've told me this before, but before in our pre-show talk, but is it true, I heard a rumor from somebody I know quite well, that men who are circumcised are more prone to erectile dysfunction, fact or fiction, because the glands are exposed and have been for most of their lives?
I am going to say fiction.
Thank you.
There is no evidence to support that statement out there in the clinical trials that I have read, that I have reviewed. I've actually never heard of that.
Thank you.
Before.
Because I've been searching for some stuff to back that up, because a dear friend of mine who is who knows quite a bit about in terms of education, mm-hmm. Has brought that up, and I've always questioned that one. So.
I have heard, in fact, that those circumcised males can have actually better sex.
Do tell. Please elaborate.
Well, I believe it increases the sensation, you know, and so it's just overall better sensate focus, really.
Which is wonderful. And I didn't know if this was, again, fact or fiction, if it's true that men who are circumcised have less chance of contracting HIV. And I didn't know if that was true, because a few years ago, the World Health Organization, especially for Africa, were talking about it at the time. And I believe the original clinical trials were where it was better for men to be circumcised. I just didn't know if there was any current data or what your thoughts were.
No, I believe the World Health Organization has certainly put some discussions out there about mm-hmm. that and has recommended that. But I haven't seen anything of late.
Okay, neither have I.
Yeah.
So I wasn't quite sure.
Yes.
So.
But I think probably because it's less, when they're not circumcised, it's a warmer environment there, and it's a higher risk of, can be a higher risk of infection.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So. That's another debate, to circumcise or not to circumcise.
And that is a huge one, especially in Vancouver, where mm-hmm. it's not covered, I don't believe, by healthcare anymore.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay not to circumcise. You know, that's mm-hmm. that seems to be acceptable. It's okay to do whatever the mom feels comfortable doing, quite honestly. So it's good to have all this information, and that just a reminder to do your research and read credible sources about these issues.
Which is key.
It's very important. Mm-hmm. The more information you have, the better. You know, education is something that no one can ever take away from you.
And that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts with educating our children early in terms of sexuality.
That's right. And educating them appropriately. That's right.
Yes,
at the age
appropriate.
Yes.
Word there.
We don't want to tell them things that are appropriate for a 12-year-old at age 5, for example.
No, I think that could definitely traumatize them.
It certainly could. We just want them to be comfortable. And, mm-hmm. you know, and they're curious and they like to know what's age appropriate. So that's great.
Which is so important. Mm-hmm. Which that's going to lead us into our next bit, because we are going to take a really quick short break, and when we return, we're going to be talking about men and men in postpartum depression, which yes. When you brought that up, I was like, wow, because I hadn't heard of that. So I thought that was really neat, and I'd love to let our listeners know a little bit more about that, and just some news about the HPV vaccine for men, which I think is absolutely fantastic.
It's
that we
tremendous
have
public
that
health gain. It's fantastic. Yes,
it is. So You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We are going to be right back in just one moment, as soon as I can get the computer to not freeze up on me and play the commercial break. One moment, we will be right back. And by the way, if you are listening, don't forget to Twitter at SexyInVanCity in terms of the tickets for ZZ Top, because we will be announcing it in the second half of the show, whoever the winner is. And I'll leave it to you to figure it out. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR. We will be right back.
CITR 101.9 FM is proud to support the Vancouver Area Cycling Coalition's Bike to Work Week from May 31st to June 6th. Join thousands of others cycling and celebrating. Bike to Work Week encourages people to try biking to work and celebrates with those that already do. During the week, visit commuter stations to enjoy free food, drinks, bike maps, bike maintenance, and fabulous prizes. You can win a new bike for recruiting the most co-workers to join your team or for recording your commute online. There's a bike a day giveaway just for logging your commute. To register and track your progress online, visit biketoworkmetrovan.ca.
We'll be right back. what is your best friend?
Welcome back to Sexy in Van City on 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, you'll notice that I've been playing a lot of ZZ Top tonight, because if you're listening and you're Twittering or you're sending me a Facebook message through the Sexy in Van City radio, you might have an opportunity to win two tickets to ZZ Top, but you must hear me. You must send that message, or you have to make a post on my blog, a comment of some sort about tonight's show. So I hope you are going to do that, because I think it's really, really important, and ZZ Top is awesome. So I've been playing a few of those songs. I just played Sharp Dress Man, and at the top of the hour, which I didn't mention, I was playing She's Got Legs, which is such an 80s song, which I think a tribute to the 80s is a very good thing. And I think it's very, very good. So welcome back to the show. And if you're just joining us just before the break, I've got Maureen McGrath on the show, and we've been chatting all about men's sexual health. And we are just about to start chatting about the fact that there's a lot of changes in both men and women's life when you make a decision to have a child. And one of the things we were bringing up before the break was about postpartum depression, which I've always heard of in regards to women, but never in regards to men. And so when you brought that up, I was like, that's something that if I haven't heard about it, I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners that are out there that haven't heard about it either, in terms of the guys.
That is true. You know, and men get a raw deal on this one, because mm-hmm. having a baby is really life altering, but the focus is on the woman and the baby, really. And in many ways, so it should be. Mm-hmm. But also, we absolutely cannot forget the father in this situation. The father's responsibilities change tenfold, mm-hmm. financially, socially. If they were going out with their friends prior to, you know, the demands are going to be higher on them now. They, too, gain weight during the pregnancy.
Is it like sympathy weight?
It is. It's a sympathy weight.
Wow.
Absolutely. You know, she can't be having that steak, that porterhouse steak by herself. She's going to be eating with the man she loves.
Mm-hmm.
And so they lose sleep right along, you know, after the baby is born, and anxieties can increase. If there's been any substance abuse in the past, you know, that's going to rear its ugly head at this time, because they're not going to be able to carry on in that way.
Wow.
So it's a big life-altering time, especially for the first baby. And about anywhere from 2 to 25% of men can suffer postpartum depression in the first year.
That's really high.
That is really high, and it's also, it really can be just a shocker for the mother. You're dealing with a new baby, and perhaps she's had a C-section, so that's a major surgery.
The healing
and the loss of lack of sleep, and dealing with breastfeeding, and you can have mastitis and inflammation of the breast, which comes along with fever and diarrhea and nausea and vomiting, and you can just feel awful. And then your partner, your rock, is is feeling anxious, losing sleep, losing weight, having heart palpitations, and it's a physical condition.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts. And so, again, it's another one of those important issues that needs to get out there so people understand that they have insight is just one of your best friends all along throughout life. So if you notice that you're not feeling as well, you know, it's important to seek help,
mm-hmm.
especially at that time, and not to be ashamed. Like you said, men go to the shame piece. They think they need to be the rock and the big man, and they're the ones, they can handle everything. But, you know, this comes at them pretty surprisingly. So it's self-care is so important at this time for the little family,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the mom, for the dad, and, of course, doing all the best for the baby, because in order to take care of anybody else,
you have to take
care of yourself. It's so important.
Mm-hmm.
So it can happen, and it's far more difficult because I think postpartum depression has been feminized, really.
It has, definitely.
It's really only been thought of that it occurs in the women, and it's still poorly understood for women because there's postpartum blues, which happens to about 80% of women. That happens on about the third day after birth because of the hormone changes, and women can become more teary and a little bit more irritable, but that generally passes within a few days or a couple of weeks, whereas postpartum depression can last much longer than that, and especially if it's untreated.
Mm-hmm.
So it really needs to be treated. And so if men have that, you know, it's a big challenge for the men and for the new moms as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many treatments for it. Cognitive behavioral therapy is important, the self-care. There are also some medications, some SSRIs like the Prozacs and Paxils are also very helpful. And, you know, if men have unresolved issues from the past, they may rear their ugly heads at this time of their life. You know, they feel they don't deserve a good life, or they don't, you know, they may have been estranged from a parent or had a job loss in the past, or, you know, the recession hits people, and all of these factors come into play
mm-hmm.
at this time of life.
No, it's true. In Vancouver, what is there for men in terms of support? Because I know for women, there's, as you mentioned, it's been feminized in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of support groups.
There are the Pacific Postpartum Society. I think men's best bet is to have a good general practitioner, a good family doctor that knows them and knows them well
mm-hmm.
and has an understanding of this condition, or a counselor, you know, that is educated in this field, or to speak to the nurses on the postpartum ward, perhaps, or the community health nurses
mm-hmm.
often can guide a person in the right direction. So just being informed and being educated and having a good support person. Anybody with depression really requires somebody to guide them through, especially through the beginning of treatment. Having an understanding new mom is really important as well. So,
which can be challenging when you have lack of sleep for both of you. You're feeding constantly, and
it certainly
especially
can.
If you're in recovery from a C-section as well,
that
it can
is
be
very true.
Or dealing with postpartum yourself, it could be quite challenging.
That's
I imagine
right. It can be certainly be a very challenging time, and feeling the responsibility of the new little life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's for the long term, you know, so it's a very challenging time. Accepting help from your friends is really important. Anyone who offers help,
take it.
Accept, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right. This is no time to be the martyr. Take the help.
Mm-hmm.
And sleep when the baby sleeps. And, you know, with paternity leaves these days, too, that can be very helpful, where men can take time off from their jobs. And I support that wholeheartedly. I think that's fantastic. And men are far more involved in their children's lives today, which is so great.
I think it's fantastic.
It is. And it's very beneficial for the child and for the mom and for the dad as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just fantastic. So it's different than previous generations.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we're slowly evolving. It's been an interesting thing since the sexual revelation, because before then, in a lot of ways, and before women's lib, it's been quite an interesting journey where men had a very specific role, women had a very specific role, And I think in terms of especially dating in Vancouver, there aren't defined roles anymore, and sometimes it can be really challenging. But there are benefits to that, too. And one of the things, as you're mentioning, is the paternity leave, where men can be, you know, taking care of their children. Mm-hmm. I know even in 24 Hours, for a while there was a columnist who was a new father who was actually mm-hmm. got to write about his feelings and things, mm-hmm. which I thought was really great, because I thought so it would encourage great. Other men to...
It really does. To again, normalize it. Mm-hmm. Just say, hey, I'm feeling this way. Are you feeling this way? We always feel better when somebody else has what we have. Or I often get that as a question in my clinic. Have you ever seen this before? Little do they know I've seen it, you know, 15 times that morning.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't like to say misery loves company, but we like to know that we're, you know, normal in that way, mm-hmm. anyway, that, you know, we're all going to face challenges in life, and getting through those challenges only builds confidence and makes you stronger and makes you more far more able to deal with the next challenge that comes along. Mm-hmm. I do believe for the most part life is good, and life is really good most of the time. As we look at the grass and the flowers and the sunny days and all the benefits we have, especially living in this country, you mm-hmm. know, it's a great world, but everybody does come across challenges in life, and having the tools to deal with them is very important.
So that's almost something that one should start before thinking of kids, if you have that choice.
That's right, yes. Yes, to resolve any issues that you have, to be financially comfortable or confident, have a stable job, be in your committed relationship, you know, promote it to be the best it can possibly be. Communication is key. It's so important to just be able to express your feelings and not have to solve everybody's problem and mm-hmm. allow somebody else to express their feelings, your partner to express their feelings, and sometimes to agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. And sometimes just, and realizing how important is this? Is this worth my blood pressure soaring?
And a lot of times it isn't, where it's like, is this going to matter in a year from now?
Exactly. I like the 10-10-10 rule. You know, how am I going to feel about this in 10 minutes, 10 hours, and 10 months from now? You know, so just think about that. You know, often people will forget things even within 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And it's just key, just to breathe.
Just to breathe. Take deep breaths and take care of yourself. And, you know, your health is really your best asset.
It really is.
It's the leader to everything else. Mm-hmm. It is. You have your health. You can be a good parent, you know, and that's emotional health and mental health as well as physical health. So that is just so important.
It really is. Self-esteem plays such a huge, huge defining role, I think, in terms of our health.
It really does. How you feel about yourself is just tied to so many things. If you value yourself and you feel you're a worthwhile person and you deserve goodness, mm-hmm. I think is so important, and taking care of your health. And there's many, many things one can do to take care of their health, many ways.
Starting with when you have your birthday, make sure you go for your full physical.
Excellent advice, Carolyn.
Thank you. I think it's key.
That is great. And that's such a great reminder on your birthday. What a gift to give
to yourself.
Really, what better gift than to a physical check, a physical exam.
And just making sure you're feeling good. So, and just mm-hmm. making sure you're keeping notes in terms of what's going on in your life. So if, for example, erectile dysfunction, or if you notice something a little bit different and you want to get it checked out, just kind of making note of when it is. So then the more information you can give your practitioner, that mm-hmm. is really simple, where it's like, you know, once a month I'm seeing this, or how mm-hmm. often. It's easier for them to diagnose, and it just keeps things really simple.
It is, and it that is so important. And if there's something does go awry, or you have an unusual symptom, mm-hmm. go as soon as you can to the doctor. Try not to wait 6 months, 8 months. Could be game over.
That is true.
In many, many ways.
It really is. One of the things I know we talked about at the beginning of the show was the HPV vaccine, which, mm-hmm. hooray, there's finally something for guys, which I'm excited
yes.
about.
This is just a tremendous public health advancement. I feel that the HPV vaccine came out for girls between the ages of 9 and 26 back in about 2005.
And there were a lot of controversy with that.
Lots of controversy around that, of course, because people had difficulty understanding how could we give it to such a young child, and they many people felt that young girls were going to start to be
sexually active earlier,
but that definitely was not the case. In fact, with the additional education surrounding the administration of the vaccine, the HPV vaccine, girls were educated, and they found that girls were actually delaying their first sexual experience, which was great. And so that education around that piece was fantastic. And now, in order to eradicate any disease, TB, polio, we look back to some of the other vaccines, you've got to vaccinate the entire population. And so now that it's been approved by Health Canada, which is fantastic, in about February for boys and men. So
you're mentioning to about 10 and
9 to 26 is the age group. And even if you are sexually active, it's recommended to still get the vaccine. If you've already had sexual intercourse, 75% of Canadians will be infected with an HPV virus at some point in their life. Now, often these viruses just go away and are handled on their own, but quite often they're not. And they have to be treated, and sometimes it can be painful treatment. It can also be scars. Can be there, or people are embarrassed about it. It definitely affects your sexuality. So the HPV vaccine, the Gardasil, covers the four strains. So it covers against warts, and it also covers against the cervical cancers.
Which is fantastic.
That's right.
Are there any cancers that men are more at risk of developing in terms of if they are diagnosed with HPV and it goes undetected?
Well, studies going on about, studies going on about penile cancers and anal cancers and the relationship to HPV, the human papilloma virus, or genital warts. About 30 strains of HPV affect the genital tract. There was another study that was done that showed 56% of people in a new relationship had history of genital warts, history of HPV.
Wow.
Yes, so they had been exposed. So that's a pretty significant. It just shows you just how common it is. But the two strains, the 6 and 11 that are in the HPV vaccine and the Gardasil, cover 90% of the genital warts that occur in Canadians.
Wow.
So,
90%.
So this is good. In Australia, they actually did cover, they gave the vaccine to both women and men, and they found that their rates of cervical cancer had dropped significantly. So that was fantastic to actually see that cause and effect in a fairly short period of time. So it's a vaccine that has been tested tremendously. Over 20,000 women were tested initially. So it's actually been great, and I do recommend it for young men. And
I think that's great. And one thing, factor fiction, is there more than just the four strands?
Oh, yes, there's over 100.
So even if...
human papillomavirus, that's right. Yes.
So even if they are getting vaccinated, it's important to still keep going for checkups and just making sure you're safe.
That's right. Condoms, reducing the number of partners you have sexually is good practice as well. Knowing somebody's sexual health history is always important as well.
Definitely. In regards to sexual health, what would you like to see in 10 years if you could wave a fairy wand and actually change education through the school systems? What would you like to see? Maybe the top three things.
Well, I'd like to see the HPV vaccine given to boys and given to our young men. I'd like to see sexuality as a normal aspect of the educational system, a little bit more than the birds and the bees, perhaps, and just age-appropriate level of understanding, and just an advancement in people understanding their own sexuality and having confidence in dealing with that going to the doctor for the for bronchitis or for appendicitis is
it's the same thing as going for an STI.
That's right, exactly. Or for erectile dysfunction or mm-hmm. anything like that. So just trying to raise awareness and to educate people and to help them feel comfortable and to know what's normal so that they then know what is abnormal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what is next for you? In terms of, because you've got the event coming up on June 3rd where people can find out about women's sexual health as well as men's, which I think is great. So that's coming up.
That's right. That's coming up on June 3rd, mm-hmm. next Thursday. So that's great. I'll be speaking at the Senior Center in West Vancouver on Monday.
Oh, nice.
As
okay.
well. And we're also doing another public forum in North Vancouver mm-hmm. Discussing overactive bladder and other issues that can impact sexuality. I have a private practice, of course, on the North Shore in North Vancouver.
And how can people get a hold of you if they want to come in to your private practice?
Well, I do have a website, www.yoursexualhealth.ca, so they can get in touch with me that way. People can email me, and they often do. Mm-hmm. There's also information on the public forum on that. I'm also on the Christy Clark Show once a month discussing sexual health concerns, and would love to have people email me or tweet or Twitter any mm-hmm. topics that they would like to be educated about.
And so what's your Twitter account?
It's on the www.
It's on your website.
Yes, it's
That's
on the
perfect.
Website. Yes.
And afterwards, if you want, you can just at Sexy in Van City, you can actually get a hold of us and we'll forward you on. So that would be perfect if you're not quite sure of how to get a hold of Maureen. Maureen, thank you so much for being on the show. This
you're
has
welcome.
Been absolutely fantastic.
Thank you so much. And for all your work you've done to educate people as well.
Thank you.
I'm just so glad we met at the Every Woman BC.
Me too.
Inspiring through physical activity.
Yes. Which there is another one coming up, I believe, in the fall, which I'm quite excited about.
There is, yes. Mm-hmm. That would be great. Yeah, it was just such a great weekend.
It really is. Hopefully next time I won't feel so ill, because that's the first time I've ever not enjoyed it as fully, but I should have been in bed with bronchitis, hence why I wasn't on the show last week, because I was quite ill.
Oh, so. Glad you're feeling better now, Carolyn.
Getting there. Second yes. bout of antibiotics, this time sinus infection.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's good. And again, it comes down to just taking care of myself.
That's
and
right.
just as we encourage all our listeners out there, which on that note, I should just take a look and see who we've got who have won those tickets in terms of our ZZ Top, because I don't know if I wasn't giving them away, I'd want to keep them, but whoever has won them is going to have to come into the station. So if you've Twittered me, I will send you a direct message as well and just let you know in case I don't know you. So let's just scroll down and see who we've got who might be winning these tickets. So, and our winner is going to be Justine Gallo. So congratulations, Justine, for winning on the show. And I'll get a hold of you because I think you're on our Facebook group as well. So as long as you're able to pick those up, and you can go and check out ZZ Top, which I think is going to be very highly entertaining and really, 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 really fun. So thank you so much for being on the show, Maureen.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And up next is Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour, and he is a very, very sexy man to be miserable with. And he is going to guide you into the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. And if you could see his shoes, if we had a webcam, oh man, what was that?
Thank God we don't have it. It's radio.
Thank God we don't have a webcam. I think it's the way of the future. So there is new media stuff coming up daily. So
it's not radio anymore.
That's true. But that's a whole other discussion. But I do love your shoes. And I think people would be very, very excited if they could see your shoes, because that's very super sexy. So up next week is I've got Dr. John Gray on the show. And we're going to be talking about his book, the latest one. You've probably heard of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Up next week, we've actually got his new book, which is Venus on Fire, Mars on Ice, which should be really interesting, and it's all about hormones and stuff like that. So I'm very excited. And
great book.
It's, have you read it already?
Yes.
Oh, good. Fantastic. I just got my copy. They just sent it to me, so I'm quite excited to read it this weekend.
Yeah, enjoy. I'll enjoy that.
No, I think it'll be great. I'll probably bug you about some more questions, because we definitely have to have you back on the show, so, which would be awesome.
I'd love to come.
I would love that. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR, and I can't wait to chat with you next week. So we will be back at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Goodbye, everybody. Oh, and this thing is delaying. It doesn't really want to let me go tonight. It just wants to hold on fast and just keep things moving sweetly and slowly and so sexy.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
What's wrong, little Jimmy? Are the other kids picking on you again?
Yes, they just don't understand me.
Well, screw them!
I got something to say, and I killed a baby today, and it doesn't matter.
Misfits, plus special guests, June 7th, at the Rickshaw Theater. Haven't